Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us to a place where it is only you. If men were to call us into their chambers, they would ask us to bring gold. They would ask us to wear our best attire. At times we might even lobby. But here is a privilege to be in a room with the King of Kings. It is a rare privilege. It is a rare privilege, Lord, and we do not take this for granted. We are not like the others that do not count this as a privilege. We do not downplay this. It is not common. It is not cheap. It is a privilege that we can be in a room and it is only you. It's even a place of trust that you didn't put us under the watch of the angels should in case we misbehave. You said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. No restriction, no obstruction, no supervision. It is a rare privilege, God, that we can be in a room and it is just you and us face to face, not through any other lens. It is a rare privilege, God, that we can walk into the holiest of all and it is yet only you and us. It is a privilege. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. It is your blood that has made this possible. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. These are the moments we cherish with our lives because it is everything. It is everything to us. Nothing else remains when this has happened. He says everything freezes. Nothing else remains. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name have we worshipped. In Jesus' mighty name have we worshipped. Thank you, thank you. Let's have our seats. Thank you very much, worships. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really want to bless God for today. So good to see our faces. First of all, I want to appreciate Isaac for this rare opportunity. I do not take this for granted. Thank you very much, sir. You know, when we come to God's presence, you know, there was a scripture that Itoma read. She said that, you know, that was 2 Corinthians 3:18. That as we behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. You know, that if you come to God's presence, this is what you should always expect, that transformation would happen to you. I remember those days when the intention to go to a service was to go and judge a man of God. Not because I could, but this was not evident. There was no expectation around this. And thank God that, you know, God didn't leave me in that dungeon. And whenever we come to a place like this, you know, a house like this, this should always be the barest minimum. That if nothing else would happen to me, let me be transformed. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, please, I really want us to... There might still be some of us that are still coming to church without this. And I'm saying that, please, the essence of coming, you know, that song says, whenever we come into His presence, His own side is that His glory will appear. Our own reality is that we are changed. If His glory appears and we are not changed, the equation is not balanced. And so, don't expect too much that His glory should appear without expecting that you will be transformed. You know, it's just like having a lot of expectation for your teacher that he will know what he's supposed to teach, whereas you are not having expectation for yourself that you would have understanding. You know, that's not good. You are laying too much expectation on somebody else. And so this evening, and you know, as we journey with God, let us always know that whenever we come, even in your devotion, this happens. In your personal devotion, this transformation happens. You come into His presence, His glory appears, you are changed. You are changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I want us to say, you know, just say welcome to someone beside you. Tell someone it's good to see you. If the person beside you is a stranger, just tell the person that I hope he will come again. It's just that we don't welcome first-timers on Wednesday. You know, if you're a first-timer, you've only been coming on Wednesday. Let me just welcome you for the first time. You're welcome. So that you don't get angry with us. You know, you've only been coming on Wednesday and you're wondering, is this a wicked church that they don't welcome first-timers? Hallelujah. We actually do. We have a very, very interesting rhythm when they are welcoming. You can literally dance away with that rhythm. Hallelujah. So this evening, you know, first of all, let me just share a testimony quickly. Today, Isaiah snuck something in his nose, and I was in the restroom, although I was working from there. I think I was pressed. I was in the restroom, and typically they will knock into the room before they maybe get my attention, because you could maybe be having a meeting and... you know, that's courtesy, basically. Just knock before you. But I just saw that Isaiah's nanny did not even knock. And he said, Daddy, where are you? I said, so I didn't even hear the trouble in her voice, because I was just in the restroom. And so so she said something had happened and all. And so I didn't know how I left. Because I had to go back to the room. I was like, so really I cleaned up and all that. And when there's trouble at times, your natural instinct, they fly off. And so I picked him. The boy that we even picked was playing at that time, and the crayon was actually stuck in his nostrils. The tip of the crayon was broken, and somehow we picked it. And I think when she backed him, she noticed that he was trying to sneeze and he couldn't sneeze, and he put the stuff was actually here. And when I saw something yellow. It was yellow crayon, and he likes yellow, you know. And so we were literally like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I don't know if it was God that came to me or it was devil that came first. I just remembered my own scenario too when I was in nursery too. Mine was even a stone. And I put a stone, I didn't know, maybe left or right, but mine was an incidence of a stone that I put in my nose. And it was literally blocked. And so I was trying to get the crayon out of his nose, but I didn't know the mechanism to get it out. And my wife actually went out to go and make her hair. Falake was not around. It was only the nanny that was at home. And I was trying some things, but my fear was not to push it further in. And so I told my wife that she should come back and leave the beauty fashion or the beauty pageant first. This is our life pageant that we need to come and focus on. And interestingly, there has been serious traffic happening
around here, and I knew we could not go to the hospital because I think I checked the map, it was all blocked, but I think it was better her coming. I just wanted her to come. It's better it's both of us than me. And lo and behold, when she came, I saw a superhero. She just did something like, oh my God. Please let me appreciate her. Amen. Now, don't ask me how they got the stone out of my own nose, but I think they finally, I had to go to the hospital, and after they tried all they could. I think it was an office staple that the doctor finally used. At the time, I was thinking about Isaiah. I was like, should I use spatula? But I didn't know what spatula was. But I just know that they use all those medical stuff too. I was hearing spatula, but I was not sure it was the devil or not. So I just said, let me wait for my bone of my bone to come and help. So I really want to thank God for that testimony. I really want to thank God. Amen. I think he's somewhere sleeping. All the time the stuff was in his nose, he was actually smiling. And you can know that these babies are, they know our mind. They just want to get us to walk faster with God. You know? At that time, my faith was like, where is this coming from? The money I budgeted for something. I can't go to hospital and spend this one again. And hospitals will help you spend your money. So you must know how to get solution without getting there first. Amen. Amen. So this evening, we'll be looking at a topic, or we'll be looking at the concept around hope. And if you probably ask me, what did I title this message? Actually, I have two similar titles, or maybe they are the same, or just saying it in two different... Is that my voice? That's my voice, actually. Now, I now agree when Pizak says, the women can shout. My voice is not nice. And they say the men should shout. You are not sure whether they are calling you or not. And so this evening, we'll be talking about godly hope. Amen. Amen. Actually, we'll be talking about hope. And I wanted it to be in the context of our faith or of the gospel, basically. And I said here that godly hope in the context of a new season, or godly hope profiting in a new season. So the reason why I actually want us to look at this is in the context of being in a new season or profiting in a new season. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Firstly, let's go read there are actually many scriptures, but let's start from 1 Peter 1:3. Actually, that's not the first place I want to start from. Let me get the first place I want to start from. But you can just open 1 Peter 1:3 down. I'll get that scripture. So 1 Corinthians 9:10. That's the first place I want us to start from. Hallelujah. Can you go back a little? Let's start so that we get the context there. 1 Corinthians 9. Maybe this is a good place. It says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants... Okay, they're asking a question here. So, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or, who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? But many a times when the scripture is asking this type of question, he's not expecting you to answer per se. I think that's what they call rhetoric. Is that right? So, is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope. He who threshes should actually thresh. There's another version that matches it with the plow. So it says, he who threshes in hope. I'm thinking, is this your Bible complete? Are you sure you didn't edit? But yeah, he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. I actually read this place in ESV. So, just the same way he said, he who plows should plow. He also said, he who threshes should thresh in hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Aha. Amen. Amen. It says, as it is written, for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope. Now, it would be funny if we think that that shouldn't be a requirement anymore. If you're going to plow, you probably, maybe by default, you should just plow and move on. But he's trying to bring us to bring our attention to something here. He says you should plow in hope of sharing in the crop. Let's go on. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it much if we reap material things from you? Now, this particular scripture is in a particular context where Paul was talking about there's this concept of the house of Levi, you know, being blessed, nourished, and blessed and nourished from where they are serving. Do you get? There's a concept of the people that the Levites, you know, those that are, you know, if you remember in the Old Testament, that the people they bring their first fruit to the people of the house of Levi. Do you get? And so let's just, but that's not where I'm going to. Now the reason. Let's go back to 10. Let's just stay on 10. So he says that when you plow, plow in hope for harvest. That's the sharing of the crop. That's what another version actually uses the word harvest. Then when you also thresh, I don't know if you're not very familiar with farming, you might not. Plow is when you cobby. You know what they call cobby? No, you have not heard that before. Even the way I spoke the Yoruba, I'm shocked. Even me myself, I'm not that versed in Yoruba. But it means when you mount hills where you want to put your seed. Do you get? So even before planting happens, there's the hope of harvest. So he says the guy that is plowing is plowing in the hope of harvest. He now says the guy that threshed. Threshing is, maybe a simple way I can describe threshing is when you I think it's a machine you use, but you are like, I don't want to use the word thresh again, but it's like you are ruining something into the ground. I don't know. I really don't understand that one, but I know that plowing is when you put together a hill, like you put hill here, put hill here, put hill here, then you put your seed here, you put your seed, you put your seed here, and you're expecting, he's saying that you do that in the hope of sharing in the crop. That's harvest. And so the plowman and the thresher, they are both having one hope. Amen. Amen. And so, I want us to just hold that concept tonight as we run through the many places where we can see God helping us to understand what our godly hope is. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, I think we can go to 1 Peter 1:3. Okay, let's start from verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He's like, I'm not sure if you still remember, there's a message you preached in Unilag, the sprinkling of the blood. That's many, 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 many years ago. I think there's been a song that came out of this. And, you know, there was the shedding of the blood and the sprinkling of the blood. It was a message in Unilag then, the shedding of the blood and the sprinkling of the blood. Don't worry, don't even ask me what that is. I still know the message though, but don't worry. Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Then here it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Hallelujah. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so the first thing I want us to look at here is the beginning of our salvation was heralded with a hope being birthed. You are not the only one that got born again or that was born. A hope was birthed. The day this happened at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, you know, that's the beginning of our salvation experience, right? He says he begot unto us. Something was born. Amen. He says he has begotten unto us again to a living hope. I think another version says lively hope. Amen. Amen. And so God creates and declares or birth hope in us at the instance of a new day. Amen. Not just even the day we, you know, whenever something comes back from death to life, hope is established. So when God starts a new thing, you know, God is the owner of that concept new. See, when you go and buy new spare parts, it's not new. It's either fake or they will say follow come. Now, the concept of new in itself is a God kind of thing. It's only God that can truly bring out something new. Man, so for example, I'm a software engineer. There's no new software. So what we build is built from what they've built. So when I build a company now, that company is a derivative of something that somebody else had built. So maybe the software I use is, let's call it maybe Java. That new product that I have built is out of Java. Interestingly, Java itself is built from another language. Interestingly, that language that gave birth to Java is built from another language. No, there's no Rema there. Don't worry. Don't say there's no Rema there. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That the concept of new is with God. Yeah. You know, when God says, I will do a new thing, is actually not the way man says, I will do a new thing. You know, when people declare, you know, transformation, new mandate, there's nothing new with man. And that's why it says there's nothing new under the surface of the, you know, like, you know, Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the concept of new is with God. And whenever God does a new thing, he births hope with it. Now, we'll see why God does that as we journey. Amen. Please don't forget the place we read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9. It says, he that plows should plow in hope. He that threshes should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:13. That's another scripture. We'll look at a lot of scripture just to understand our godly hope in the context of a new season, or our godly hope profiting in a new season, a new day, and all. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, this one place I really love the most. He says, now there was a previous conversation, right? Yeah. Where he talked a lot about the gift of the Spirit, right? He now says, and now, abideth faith. Now, when God uses the word abide, is an attribute of God. There's a place that Jesus was preaching about the vineyard. It says, abide in me and I in you. It says, as I abide in the Father, so the Father abides in me. Now, that word abide is a concept of God. Let me just put it that way. But that's not what I even intend to talk about. But it says here that faith, hope, love, these three things abide, right? Yes. But he now says also that, but the greatest of this is love. And so many a times when Bible narrows on a thing, it's either it's the most important thing, or it probably requires that you look more into it. Amen. Amen. But I think in this case, it's just telling us that out of all the spiritual gifts, what is really germane to God is faith, hope, and love. Now, it says out of these three things, love is the greatest. Let's go to, like I said, we'll just read scriptures. And like I said, godly hope is one of the things that abides, you know. Then I think I was going to say that. So a lot of believers are well grounded in or understand the concept of faith. First, from the point of it being transactional. Now, to deal with God, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whether pleasing God as per a momentary thing or pleasing God as per a relational thing. Do you get? Meaning my life pleasing God, or as at the time when I'm relating with God, me pleasing, maybe when you're talking to God. That's what I mean by it being transactional. You are praying. You have to pray in faith. My life can also be a life of faith to please God. So that one is relational. That's not transactional. Do you get? But when I need to maybe sort out something and I'm in faith, I can receive that thing. Now, people understand, or let me just make that assertion, that we have some type of understanding about faith. And we've had a lot of teachings also about faith. I think some of us will probably have read, you know, the materials from Kenneth Hagin on faith. But hope in itself is as important as faith. Maybe that's what I want to say. Because for God to put it in this class, he's saying, just like when he says, this is the whole conclusion of man. He talked about the spiritual expressions, you know, prophecy, diversity of tongues, but he says out of all that, these are the three things that abide. These are the three things that would pass from maybe this our natural experience, because I think like we've been told, you most likely not be prophesying in heaven. Like all those gifts are for the edification of the church, the body, and all. But some of these things, I believe that these are the attributes in heaven as well. Because it says they abide. They abide. Meaning, when it says they abide, it's a concept that transcends physical, temporal. It's something that is everlasting. Let me just use that so that you can put any other thing behind it. You get, it's a thing of God. So, faith is as important as hope. And it's as important as love. Now, I don't want us to think that hope is, and we understand faith and we know love. Love. There's a lot of writings in 1 John that talks about love being not a thing of compromise. But hope is as important as faith and is as important as love. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to Romans 8, 24 to 25. Well, let's read Ephesians 2:8 first, which talks about how we were saved by grace through faith. Let's go to Ephesians 2:8 first. I just want to make a similar or appreciate hope, you know. It says, for by grace you have been what? Saved. So salvation came by what? Faith. It says, we are saved by grace through faith. So whether you say, I was saved by faith, or I was saved by grace through faith, you're right. You know, don't fight yourself. And that not of yourself, and it is what? The gift of God. Let's go to Romans 8:24. It says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? And so, hope here was described as a tool for salvation. He says we were saved in this hope. Now, let's go back a little bit to understand the hope that it was I was describing. So he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Is this the same place where it talked about the old earth, earnestly? Okay, thank you, sir. So that we can see the hope that was being described. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, this was where they started describing the hope. It says, what we have, we can't describe it. And it cannot even be compared with the glory which shall what? Like it says, our present suffering. It says, what is ahead of us is so beautiful. Let's go on. For the earnest expectation of... Now, the preceding verse is not disconnected from this. Many of us, we start our quotation from here. You know, when we want to manifest, you know, well, we have to manifest. But you need to pick the suffering. There's the suffering and comparison with what is ahead. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation. So this is why we were saved. We were saved in this hope. Yes. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves because of this hope. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope. So your salvation was not orchestrated without a hope. You know, like I said, when God starts a new thing, you're at the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, he birthed a hope. He unleashed a hope. A lively what? A lively hope. And you know, this part describes what that hope looks like. And he says that we were saved in that hope.
Yeah.
You know, you were not saved for yourself. You were not just only even saved by faith through grace or by grace through faith. No, you were also saved because there was something in the mind of God.
Yeah.
Just like the plower that plows knowing fully well that I'm doing this because of harvest.
Yeah.
So he says that I've unleashed salvation because of a hope. So I, Laolu, was saved because of hope. Not just because I just deserve to be saved.
Yes.
Do you get? There's something in the mind of God which we saw here in Romans 8, 18 down to 25. I probably guess there will be more about the verse. Let's read 25 and we'll run away from here. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, with patience. Perseverance is the same as what? Patience. Amen. So hope is a tool for continuity as well.
Yes.
You know, I said we are looking at this in the context of a new season. When God starts a new thing with us, there's a hope in his mind. Now, I made a statement some time ago. See, the reason why God knows that you would arrive at his destination is because of the hope he has. God has a picture in mind. Right? God has a picture in mind. And so, whether you go into a season and through the frailty of man, I think that was the word I used, you had some fractures. See, the reason why you would arrive at the man that God has in mind is because of hope. God is the one that performs this. This is not the work of man. The reason why, maybe in season one, I learned maybe 90%. The reason why I will end up in all that he has proposed and he has planned in his mind is because of the hope, the lively hope that he has birthed in us. Hallelujah. And so hope is a tool for continuity. So in the journey of that new season, it is hope that is keeping you alive.
Yes.
Now you can now see that hope is not necessarily transactional. As faith is transactional. And you know I said that faith is transactional and relational. My God, Isaiah has put something in his nose. God, remove this. That's transactional. I'm transacting at that point. Now, don't look at transaction as per selfish. Oh, no. Don't look at it from. I'm relating. I'm having a transaction at that point. And faith is also relational. Do you get? But hope is altogether relational. Is the sustenance of the journey. And so hope is a tool for continuity. To walk the long walk with God, you need hope. To walk that long mile with God, you need hope. You know, let me give us a very simple definition or description of hope. So hope is when you tell your little child or a small child that I'm going to take you to the cinema or to the amusement park tomorrow. Now, just to create a difference between faith and hope. Faith is that my daddy is not a liar. My daddy, whenever he tells my mom that he will buy something, he will buy it. So faith is that I put trust in my dad to take me to the amusement park. But hope is what will not make him sleep.
Yes.
He will go and quickly hang on his clothes. You say, ah, no, it's still Sunday. Ah, no. They won't bring light. Now, that's hope.
Hallelujah.
Hope is, ah, what was the time? You know when, the first time you wanted to go to boarding school? What is making you, you wake up, or maybe the night of your wedding, I think for the ladies, maybe the male too. You know, you don't wake up, ah, it's still 2 a.m. There's a hope that you have in mind. Now, that's hope. Faith is that, oh, there's a church already. We will do the journey in the church. There's a pastor. You have faith or you have trust in those things. But hope is the palpitation of your heart in the process of the actualization of that thing. So that's why hope is the tool for continuity. It's what keeps your heart still. Did you understand what I'm saying? So I hope we all got that description of hope. And so hope is that expectancy that keeps your receiving from God, which is faith alive until we become what we are believing God for. Hope is the expectations that are measured out in a new season. Let's quickly go to Titus 1:1-2. I want us also to see that hope is that tool for continuity. Hope is what starts a journey with the end in view. Hope doesn't begin. Doesn't just say you are stretching the floor. Just stretch it. No. It tells you, you know, and at times you shouldn't be shocked when when they tell you that what you're doing, you will be great. You know, when they confer the promises of God, which is hope, while you are doing what you're doing presently, don't be perplexed that, you know, why are they just telling me I will be great? Let me just be taking one step at a time. Now, hope is you will take one step at a time, but the end is sure. So, Paul, a born servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Let's read the next verse, although my focus is on verse 2. But as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So he says, let's go back to 2. He says that, can you bind 1 and 2 together so that we don't read that in hope of eternal life? So it says that which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life. I think why I brought out the scripture is to look at it side by side with 1 Peter 1:3 that says that the beginning of our journey, which was salvation, was done in hope, in a lively hope, a living hope. And the end of the journey, which is eternal life. Amen. It says, for God so loved the world. Should not perish. Now, that hope of everlasting life is what is also, he also said here. It says, everlasting life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time. And so, hope is introduced to us at the beginning of a thing, is the sustenance of the journey, and he also describes what the end looks like. Amen. And so, it's not just a beginning tool, it's a continuing tool, and it's an ending tool. Amen. With hope, you understand the spectrum of what God is doing. You know, when you need to really understand the will of God, many a times you will see it from what he has as a hope towards that thing. Yes. You know, it's just like when they send you to school, the hope is that you graduate. Like, do you get? Now, we're going somewhere where we create a distinction between the hope of man and the godly hope. Now, that's why Peter said, hopefully. That's the hope of man. It's the hope of man that will be hopefully. God's hope is not hopefully. He's sure. So we'll look at the difference between the hope of man and God's kind of hope. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:21. Please, I hope I'm not rushing. Okay. Because even if I'm rushing, what can you, I can't really help. 1 Peter 1:21. Can we take it from maybe 20 or... Okay. It says, he indeed was foreordained before the what? The foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, this is where we need to start narrowing down where does hope tilt to. Yeah. Hope, as much as faith is in God, hope must also be in God. Yeah. Hope must also be, you know, he says some trust in chariots, yeah, some in horses. He says, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And so as much as your faith is in God, your hope must also be hinged on God. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, his blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. So your hope in itself is as important as the faith that you have. And the both of them, they must be hinged or be in God. You can't have your faith in God and your hope in man. No, it won't balance well. You can't have your faith in God and your what? Your hope in man. You know, for example, maybe someone says, I'll give you, promises you money. And they say, Father, I trust you. But your hope is in the man, your faith is in you. You're just confusing the atmosphere. Wow. Do you get? The guy said he would give it to you. So you've looked at, you've assessed his class, his well-being. That's your hope being in man. Do you get? Even though you are praying that God, let it come true, let it come. But you're like, No. Your faith, as much as it is in God, your hope must also be in God. And this is why you can't be disappointed. Yes. You can't. This is why your life is not at the mercy of a man. Yes. See, we need to understand this so that we can sit well and know whether we're going left or we're going right. Your faith can't be in God and your hope in man. You know, you have to, at times when we slumber into that, it's a man affair. You slumber, you know, you just look at what a man can do. You just look at what is possible with a man. And so we have to trust God. Amen. Amen. That as we transact with God by faith, we must know that the hope is in God. The hope is in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, like I said, faith can be very transactional. And I think I've said that. But hope is for the long game. Hope is for the long game. Your consistent and persistent expectation in God. Amen.
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 You know, like we talked about the plower plowing in hope. You have to always come into every season with hope in mind. When they say, and I mean, when you're under the right, atmosphere, and I believe every one of us here, we are connecting rightly. Every word that, every promise of God is said in God's hope. There's no lasciviousness of words. Whether by greed or by want of word, it is said in hope.
Yes.
And, whenever you connect to the devotions, evening and morning, all the words are declared in a sure hope.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And, there's only one thing out of many things they told us to do with hope. He says, rejoice. Your reaction, amen. Amen. Your reaction to hope is not analysis. Now, don't forget, just the same way you can't analyze the death and the resurrection of Jesus, your hope is that congealed. Because the day resurrection happened, he didn't just only begat the only begotten son.
Yeah.
Hope was also begotten.
Yeah.
And so, whenever you hear your hope, and you can start analyzing, you need to repent.
Yeah.
I'm saying when you hear your hope. I didn't say when you hear frivolous words. I'm not even saying confessions. Your hope is not confessions.
Yeah.
You can confess what is not your hope.
Yeah.
But when you hear your hope, your only reaction is rejoicing. Let's look at, thank you so much. God bless you. Romans 12:12. Let's go to maybe 11 or 10. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy or prophecy, prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. Now, this is very beautiful. He who leads with diligence. Now, we always expect the people that we are leading to be diligent. You didn't come. For you. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without... this man, you went far, far, far. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. There's also another place where it talks about joy. When you see hope, it's joy. It's not analysis. Please see. The more... If you are very brilliant, let me tell you your trick. You can work hard not to always be analyzing the things of God. It's possible.
Yes.
You can't be at the mercy of your natural intellect or your wisdom. Whenever this is like when they say, that in the call love at first sight. That's what hope too looks like. When you see your hope, you know it's your hope.
Yes.
So it's not, can this be me? Can this really be me? Can this really, 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 really be me? No, there's something we'll talk about, which is hope against hope.
Yes.
Now, maybe we should talk about it now. And I think I'll tie it up now. Now, it talks about Abraham. And I want to explain hope against hope. I'm sure some of us, we've all just read that place. And we're just like, hope against hope. Whatever is hoping against themselves, she saw that in themselves. Now, let's read the scripture first, then we'll come back and analyze it. Let's go to Romans 4. Let's take it back, go back. This is talking about Abraham. He said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, this is talking about the seed of Abraham. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham. Now, he's talking about yourself and myself. We are by faith the children of Abraham. Amen.
Amen.
Who is what? Is all our father. Those that came in by the law, and we that came in by faith, is our papa. So let's move on. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Let's go on. And not being weak in faith. Now, this was he says hope against hope. Now, there are two hopes. Let's say hope A and hope B. Now, they are now describing hope B. He says he did not consider his own body already dead. Now, the issue then, to bring forth a son, right?
Yeah.
Now, Abraham as a man, the hope is that he would bring forth a child as a man. Now, when that hope was dead, there now came another hope. Now, when you say hope against hope, this other hope, OB, is a hope that if he was not already dead, maybe he can bring forth. Now, many times we don't wage that war. Now, when the Lord tells you that you will bring forth, and you look at all the hopes, womb, health, man, like you look at all the possible. Now, hope against hope is that God gives you that hope that is now fighting against all the possibilities with man. And so when you hope against hope, it's like when a lecturer says, I will fail you, and God says, you will pass. Now, your hope against hope is God's hope against the possibility with that lecturer. And so when they introduce you to the hope in God, and you look at the hope with man, whether we are safe. Because the fulfillment of God's hope is not in man. So, when God says, you're going to Canada, it's not that, thank God, I'm the best candidate for Canada. No. It's that I'm not even qualified to. So, my hope against hope is that I take what God says as against what has no possibility. So he says he did not consider his own body. That was the fight. He didn't consider his own body that was already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's another hope against hope. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. I want us to rise up on our feet. And our expression to God tonight is, we believe you, God. And against every other hope that is already dead or without possibility, we hope against hope. Because in this new season, we have hinged our hope in God. Our faith is in God, but our hope is also in God. And we are going to speak to every other impossibilities that God's hope is against every other hope. And by this, we are strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, rejoicing in hope. I want us to respond to God, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. It is possible.
Bible says with God, all things shall be possible. He says with man, nothing shall be impossible. But he says with God, with God, with God, with God. With God, with God, with God, my health is possible. With God, with God, Nigeria is possible. With God, hope against hope, hope against our politicians, hope against hope. It is possible. It is possible. It is possible. I believe and I rejoice and I rejoice and I rejoice. He that has started a good work in us, he shall bring it to a perfect end. I believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Only thing you do with hope. I can't even guarantee us that we want to teach hope. You rejoice. We must always know the right reactions to godly things. For hope, we rejoice. For hope, we rejoice. Whether there's no strength in that body again, we give glory to God, knowing that our hope will be brought to perfection. Our hope is in God. 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 My tomorrow is in God. Edebakosha, Edebakosha. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice.
Possible, all things are possible. All things
are possible.
Who knows the song? I don't even know the song.
My safe refuge, no other name like Jesus. No power can stand against you. My feet are planted on deep, and I will not be shaken. My hope comes from you, O Lord. It's always on my lips. Your word is living in my heart, and I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord. You fill my heart with greater joy, and I delight myself in you. I am weak, you make me strong. When I am poor, I know I'm free, for in the power of your name, all things are possible, all things are possible, all things are possible, all things are possible. strong. When I am poor, I know I'm rich, but with the power of your name, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible.
Hallelujah. What do you do with hope? 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 Hallelujah. Have your seat in God's presence. Glory to God.